or involved in any sort of arena, I probably would have been able to find your name when I searched for it, even if it was a while back. Which leaves... A few breaths passed before Sarah finally saved him the discomfort of saying it.
Player killing.
Why?
Because I was a screwed-up kid,
Sarah murmured.
The game was brand new, and it was better than having my stepdad hit me for the 100th time, so I ran away. I made some new friends, built a party, and at first, it was fun. Just a real-life game, right? Three of us died getting to level 12. Other parties were beating us up to the tower, and I kept pushing for us to try and take on things we weren't ready for. We didn't have the gear or the money.
Color and shame flooded Sarah's face as she spoke.
The first time was this level 30 solo player, Katya. Sebastian, my party leader, had been trying to get her to join us all week, probably because he thought she was cute.
And she said no? Caden asked.
With more colorful words, yeah. Seb didn't like that. He took a swing at her, and once she started beating him, we all piled on her.
Another tear briefly interrupted the tale.
She had more money and better gear than the five of us put together. And it had been so easy.
How many?
I honestly don't know. At least a dozen.
How can you not know? His voice was incredulous, just one step below a yell as Sarah shrunk away on the other end of the video feed.
You think I was myself during all this?
She asked with a mixture of indignation and embarrassment.
A young girl with a bunch of older guys in Babel with no supervision? I was high more than I was sober.
And that is your...
No!
Sarah cut him off.
It isn't an excuse. I'm a terrible person. Is that what you want to hear?
Caden said nothing, his mouth opening and closing a few times as he searched for any sort of proper reply. What could he say to an admission like that? Player killers were a small but dangerous fact of life in Babel, but when he thought of them, he thought of lunatics covered in bones or creepy Silence of the Lambs types. Not her.
You don't have to deny it. I know I am,
Sarah said, her voice just barely above a sob.
I know what I did.
Unsure of what else to say, of how to comfort her, Caden instead pressed her story. Why did you stop?
I'd like to say I grew a conscience, but in truth, we just got sloppy.
Sarah looked down, no longer meeting his digital gaze or letting him see her reflection as she spoke.
Sebastian picked someone with friends in high places, and they came after us with everything they had. I managed to get away through sheer dumb luck, and I hid on the second floor.
And Simbal?
They couldn't attack me in town, but they still made my life a living hell. I couldn't find a place to sleep, to buy food. Simbal was the only one who knew what I was, who was still willing to give me a place to stay and something to do with myself, even if I had to hide who I am to do it.
Caden cocked his head to one side, about to inquire further as realization struck him. Your name isn't Sarah. It's Desdemona.
Funny how you can miss something as simple as hearing your own name,
she smiled.
But really, I prefer Des.
How long have you been there?
A year and a half,
Des replied.
It was the closest thing to a good home I've ever had.
And I burned it to the ground, Caden winced.
You did.
The slightest hint of a wry smile emerged on her face as she looked back to the mirror once again.
But I can think of worse reasons to have done so.
So what do we do now? He asked after a brief hesitation.
I'm going to join some refugees making their way to Bastion,
Des replied.
I've got another 5.5 days on my death timer. After that, I am yours to command.
I meant after this, Caden said. Once this event is over. And about the others.
I'll tell them once this is all over,
she promised.
And when it is all over, if you'll have me, I'd like to join you.
Why?
Because if I can help you get that wish, then maybe you can help me fix the mistakes I've made.
Chapter 25.
Welcome home, Field Marshal.
Valseris, Caden replied. For a moment he said nothing more before emotion got the better of him.
You have got to stop sitting to the side of the door. This is like the third time you've nearly given me a heart attack.
The officer regarded him coolly at first, though a half-smile eventually snuck in below that absurdly colored mustache.
Perhaps sir should try expecting my presence.
How can I? You're like the Spanish Inquisition.
He waved away any requests to expand on the idiom and instead continued speaking.
Command, quick item 7.
His steps carried him further into the room as the miniature warframe materialized into the palm of his hand. Silver, Michael, and Ash were all quick on his heels, and before long, the table once again dominated the center of the strategy room, the room's occupants arrayed in a semicircle around one side. The map had changed significantly since he'd last looked upon it. The once proud city of Ilo was now little more than burnt-out wreckage surrounded by powerful walls, while a long line of crimson banners and marching miniatures streamed out from where it had once been.
So we've lost Ilo, Caden said, starting with the obvious.
I wouldn't say we've lost it,
Silver smirked.
Really?
Caden asked.
Really,
Silver replied, unwilling to back off the reference despite his tone. Ilo is gone, he rephrased after losing the brief battle of wills.
And with it, a huge number of warden troops. The best estimate we have from the goon scouts we have in the field suggests we've knocked out as much as a third of their army.
Caden allowed his friends a brief moment of self-congratulations before he continued.
The real question is, what do we do next?
The bridges, wasn't it? Michael asked.
That appears to be their next destination,
Valseris confirmed, indicating the two bridges that crossed the Rykes River at the roughly halfway point between Bastion and the ruins of Ilo.
The real question isn't if the wardens are going to the bridges, it is if they are worth defending,
Ash said. Caden tapped the tip of his nose.
She's got it in one. With the Ilo and other player forces added to our own, the combined army is greatly expanded.
He brushed at the side of the warframe, manipulating its surface to call up a new menu.
Once all units are back to full strength, we'll have about 1,600 infantrymen and 200 cavalry.
But there are problems with that, Valseris added.
There are, Caden agreed. Right now we don't have enough field supply limit for all of our forces.
Which means what, exactly? Michael asked.
It means that if we deploy them all in the field at once, we start getting charged extreme upkeep costs in terms of food, production, and Grand Zenny, Caden replied. We have enough to field about half the army right now, but anything over 1,000 at one time is going to cost us.
Michael crossed his arms.
So that should be our priority for construction, shouldn't it?
It would be if we didn't also bring home a little over 9,000 civilians, Silver said as she rubbed the bridge of her nose with thumb and forefinger. We have housing for not even half that many, and now that Ilo isn't providing us with any food, we've only got enough to feed all our mouths for about 12 days.
We can feed them all for the time being, Caden assured the others as a ripple of worry ran around the table. The increased population allows us to work another 3 tiles around the city, which should alleviate that worry once we get some farms up and running. But housing is going to be our number one priority. Overpopulation is giving us the same sort of negatives we get from having too many soldiers under arms, and unlike the soldiers, we can't alleviate the problem by having them sit around and do nothing.
So you're saying that victory has defeated us? Michael chuckled.
Caden snorted.
I'm saying that we need to take a few days and secure our gains, even though we'd be better off going on the offense if we could.
Then there won't be any defense of the bridges?
Silver asked.
Not unless we come up with some grand plan in the next few days,
Ash replied before Caden could.
As soon as the turn starts tomorrow morning, we'll be smashing the northernmost bridge. After that, we'll be taking stock to see if we can put up a meaningful defense of the southern bridge. Ideally, we can hold it for a day or two before smashing it as well.
Silver arched a fine black eyebrow at the repeated mention of we, but rather than comment on that, she considered the strategy.
Can't the warden troops just swim across? Or, I don't know, zombie walk across the bottom?
It isn't like they need to breathe.
I'm actually kind of proud of this one, Caden replied with a wide grin. Valseris?
Yes, Field Marshal,
the Elder Elon replied. With a gesture, he swept away the current image on the warframe, and with a few more he drew up an image of the Rikes that stretched south of Bastion and north all the way to Sune. The warden troops were much closer in the image, their army pressed against the bank of the river, while the Elon forces opposing them were stretched over 10 hexes to the north and 6 to the south.
While it is indeed possible for warden troops to swim, I believe that this Temujin will find it tactically inadvisable,
Valseris explained.
The current of the Rikes is strong and swift. Even a warden soldier will be swept some distance downstream if they enter the water, though the specific distance is quite variable.
As the Elon general spoke, banners indicating various warden units took to the river. The moment they did so, however, the individual banners split and fragmented, a single unit producing up to 20 miniature banners that traveled downstream, coming up in ones and twos on the Bastion side of the river before being quickly dispatched.
You can see what happens when they do so. Their formations are broken, the individual soldiers scattered. They all make it across the river, which would not be true for our soldiers, but they do so in such a scattered and fragmented way as to be functionally useless as an armed force.
Silver's head bobbed as the demonstration came to a close.
So long as we guard our side of the river, they shall not pass, Caden finished for her.
It stretches our line quite a bit, which is worrisome if they have some other surprise, but so long as we keep units across from them, down enough of the riverbank, they can't ford it. And even if a few do breach, they can't bring their siege equipment across either.
Which makes Sune our next battleground, Michael pointed to Ilo's northern sister city. Are we going to burn that one to the ground as well?
Silver gave a disapproving gesture before any of the others could.
Even a stupid opponent wouldn't let that work twice.
A defense of the city, then.
We don't have the manpower to do that either, Caden replied. If we pile enough troops into the city to make a difference, there is the very real possibility that the wardens leave the city and try to ford the river instead. If we don't put enough in, then they take it and kill our defenders in the bargain.
Michael seemed aghast.
It sounds like you were suggesting we just let the city fall.
Caden and Ash exchanged glances before the latter leaned back on her heels.
The city will start its evacuation as soon as we demolish the second bridge. That should space out the refugees well enough that they don't further exacerbate our problems.
And remove the last stumbling block between Bastion and their army, Michael persisted. I get that we want to keep Elon casualties at a minimum, but at some point, we need to make a stand. Sune sits astride the Rikes. If they capture the city, then they have their river crossing.
Just forcing them up that far buys us over a week, Caden replied. And we're already working on plans for what happens once they are on our side of the river. Have a little faith.
Care to fill us in?
I said working on, Caden said, to table-wide laughter.
What about the shackles?
Silver asked, once the mirth had died down.
I've instructed the garrison to conduct an exhaustive search, as you requested, Valseris replied. A magical search might turn up more, but at this point, I am confident that the only shackles in Bastion are the ones chained to the wall in the dungeon.
He did seem very convinced that we'd handled them, Caden said,
expressing a similar concern as Silver.
It is possible that we've come into contact with the owner and didn't realize it.
Which begs the question of what sort of player steals an artifact that causes this sort of havoc without returning it, Michael added. Assuming, of course, that it is a physical object with any power and not just some trinket that triggers the event.
We do need more info, Caden agreed, which is one of the short-term goals I've been discussing with Dinah.
For once, the toy soldier's face did not twist into a mask of annoyance at her first name being used.
The second upgrade to the keep was, as Valceris helpfully pointed out, a dungeon. As of yet, we haven't had much use for it, but I refuse to believe that the developer put something like that into this event without intending for us to use it as part of the event.
Caden smiled grimly as he regarded his allies.
I think our next goal must be to capture a warden officer if we want to have any hope of getting to the cause of all of this.
Epilogue. Day 12. Midday. Resources. F. 640 minus 20. Z. 790 plus 10. M. 280 plus 5. I. 700 plus 20. P plus 40. R plus 20. Research complete. Warfare. Barracks.
The books you requested?
You're too quick, Ainsworth, Caden said without looking up from the text he was studying. I haven't even puzzled out all of these quite yet.
Might I suggest you begin puzzling faster then, Sir Caden?
That bit of prim and proper snark was at last enough to draw Caden's attention away from the page. His eyes flickered up just as the head librarian carefully deposited a stack of books heavy enough to make the table groan slightly under their weight. Bastion's librarian was, to Caden at least, the perfect example of a man who fit his name to perfection. Some people were Kevins, or Davids, or Steves. Ainsworth. He was absolutely an Ainsworth. Just a tad over 5 feet tall, the diminutive Elon was among the oldest of his kind that Caden had ever met. At least, he thought so. When Caden had tried to pry on the subject, the librarian had replied only that he was older than most and younger than some, which was, of course, supremely helpful. Even an attempt to order the information out of him had proven a failure when the Elon had helpfully reminded him that he was a librarian, not a soldier. But he was old. That much was clear from his hunched back and scraggly gray beard. Unlike many of his kind, Ainsworth looked almost human. It was only his eyes with their unnatural crimson hue that gave him away as anything less than an octogenarian who had somehow stumbled into the tower by mistake. For all he knew, he could just be an old human in contact lenses. As far as Caden could tell, Ainsworth just came with the place. The librarian had finished construction while they'd been out on campaign, and just as with the jail, it came with an employee to keep it running. Valceris didn't hire him, nor did anyone he'd interrogated on the subject. Even now, Caden wasn't sure whether the Elon had been drawn to the library by some compulsion or whether he'd come into being fully formed when the library was finished. How cruel would that be, to come into existence in old age with the sole purpose of acting as a librarian? The very thought made him shudder.
Are there any other subject you'll be requesting, or shall I leave you to your work?
The old man asked, dutifully separating the stack of books into three distinct piles.
No, I think this should do it,
he replied with a smile. The library had been one of his first destinations once things had settled down upon his return. Unlike the dungeon, the library did have a practical effect on the war effort, in that it significantly increased their overall research points. Still, Caden hadn't been convinced that was its only purpose, a conviction that had rewarded him with enough new runes to bring his total vocabulary to 1,837 out of 2,000, on the very cusp of his next leap in power. Even that knowledge, hadn't been enough, however. It wasn't like the developer to give them something as detailed as the library without hiding some sort of Easter egg within its shelves. So far, however, that search had proven fruitless.
"Very well, Marshal,"
Ainsworth said curtly, indicating each stack of books in turn.
"As requested, these three are every bit of knowledge the library contains on the Lyre King. These four deal with constructs in general, or the wardens in particular, and these last five are the tomes most related to Elan magic."
The librarian tapped the final stack with a fingertip as he added,
"I took the liberty of marking all relevant passages that I could locate, seeing as you appeared somewhat overwhelmed."
Caden blinked in surprise.
"That? In 2 hours?"
"Sir, you've been here for 6,"
Ainsworth said with just the slightest hint of bemusement.
"What?"
Caden shouted, lowering his voice only after a steady glare from the Elan.
"I'd set an alarm, and... oh."
He rolled his eyes as he realized his mistake. Even a high-tech smart device powered by literal magic could still screw up when he selected PM instead of AM.
"These are going to have to wait. Our turn is going to be starting soon."
"Of course, sir," Ainsworth replied dutifully. "But before you go, I had one more thing to call to your attention."
"Hmm?"
"It will take not but a moment."
The elder man smiled thinly beneath his well-kept beard.
"You had initially gathered all our books on the language and runic characters of the Great Emperor."
"Yeah,"
Caden replied. It had put them off on the wrong foot to start off with. Ainsworth didn't appreciate the fact that Caden's find rune ability had allowed him to gather every book he'd desired without even stopping to inquire about the filing system.
"You missed one," the librarian said, clearly relishing the words as he extended a thin volume.
"It must not have been important," Caden replied.
Most likely, it was a book that contained only runes that he had already added to his lexicon.
"Put it on the pile and I'll..."
Any further words caught in Caden's throat as he caught sight of the leather-bound cover. It was bland, a brown leather book no more than a few dozen pages at best. But it wasn't the size or quality of the book that drew his breath, but the symbols stamped into the leather on its surface. A symbol he'd seen only once before. The rune of the White Knight.
You have been listening to Lyre King, Tower of Babel, Book 2, produced by Greg Lawrence, Associate Producer Emily Durr. Text copyright 2017 by Adam Elliott. Production copyright 2018 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved. If you enjoyed this audiobook, let us know. Take a quick moment to rate and review it on Audible so we know we're bringing you audiobooks you'll love.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.